enjoy the ride. Please don't enjoy the ride. Yeah.
And now more Operation Freedom. Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham! Talk 1600. We're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern, but it doesn't start and stop on Sundays from 2 to 5 Eastern. We're also available on our YouTube channel, also named Operation Freedom, same as the radio show title. We put two new YouTubes up usually every week, usually on Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. and usually by Friday morning at 8 a.m. And then we're also available 24/7 on our website, davejanda.com. We have the free, the public side, where we upload information on a regular basis. But where the real meat of the matter is, with our extra shows, video shows, our WTF geopolitical show, where we bring information forward from behind the curtain, as it is, that the deep state is trying to shove under the rug and keep you just unaware of what they're up to. We bring that forward. We also, on our Thursday show, our Insider Insight show, bring a guest forward to speak about issues that, again, the bought-off lamestream fake media tentacle of the deep state will not discuss. That's our Insider Insight show. We also have our healthcare series. We have our contributing editor section. We've accumulated all the videos we've done from my series on health and wellness from a nutritional standpoint with Dr. Peter Glidden, one of the top, if not the top, naturopathic physician in our country and around the world. We discuss issues that Big Pharma, another tentacle of the deep state, do not want you to know about. We also have that available on our platform. I hope you'll join us. At a minimum, sign up for a month. If you don't like it, $9. Less than probably the best deal on the planet, which is a Costco pizza. $9. Sign up for it. And if you don't like it, or you don't think you're going to use it, then you can get rid of it. But you're paying $100-some for a cable bill, and I can assure you the information you're getting on that cable channel, on all those cable channels, it's not doing you any good. It's just all propaganda leading you down a road that is going to end in a blind alley. And we shine the light of truth on what's really going on at davejanda.com. I hope you join us. Since the inception of this show back in October of 2010, one of the issues that we have focused on has been your financial and your economic well-being. A regular on this platform for years has been my next guest, Bill Holter. After a lengthy career in financial services, Bill retired in 2006, excellent timing, might I say, and moved his family out of the United States. Bill then returned back to the United States in 2011 and currently makes his home in the great state of Texas. Bill joined Miles Franklin as an associate writer in 2012 and posted commentaries until early 2015. Bill is now working in collaboration with a legend, if you will, in the financial world and in the precious metals arena, Jim Sinclair. And they help educate and enlighten folks through Jim's site. Here's the site, JS Mindset, M-I-N-E-S-E-T. jsmindset.com. If you distill all that Bill has done and how he approaches financial markets, bottom line is Bill dissects financial markets like no other. And he is, I believe, one of the best forensic economic analysts in the world. Bill, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thanks for having me back, Dave.
So, Bill, the people in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor and other people actually outside the People's Republic of Ann Arbor are upset with me because I've spoken about this, quote, recovery since 2009 that was deemed the Obama recovery and the like, is a faux, F-A-U-X, a faux recovery, and in fact is based on nothing more than the smoke and mirrors of a credit bubble. Bill, your take.
Well, that's exactly correct. And the one word that you don't hear is expansion.
True.
I mean, if you go back through history, you have a recession, the recession bottoms out, you have a recovery, and it's a recovery until it eclipses the previous industrial production peak, and then it's considered an expansion. And interestingly, industrial production has still not eclipsed the peak in 2006 or 2007. Basically, what was done back in 2008, 2009, because that was a, it was caused by too much debt, what they did was they put more, created more debt and shoved more liquidity into the system. So really what they did was treat it with what the cause was. And it's been a credit expansion. This is not just the United States. This is a global credit expansion since 2008. We're now, there's slightly over $250 trillion of debt worldwide.
Oh, that's nothing big, is it, Bill?
Well, Dave, just like looking at the United States, okay, so we have a $1 trillion deficit. And let's just, for round numbers, we have a $20 trillion economy. So the deficit is 5% of what the economy is. And they're telling us, and I'm skeptical of the numbers, but they're telling us that the economy is growing at 2%. Mm-hmm. Well, what would that number be if there was no deficit? If you sucked out that $1 trillion that the government borrows more than what they're taking in taxes, if you did not have that to be put into the economy and spent, you'd have a negative. We would be in a recession, a declining economy ever since 2008.
And in fact, Bill, it was announced. No one really wanted to discuss this, but on November 5th, I didn't actually see it reported in the bought off lamestream fake media. U.S. national debt passed $23 trillion, jumped $1.3 trillion in 12 months.
It's insanity.
It is.
But use that $1.3 trillion number, that's over 6% of GDP.
Mm-hmm. It's unsustainable, Bill.
Well, it's unsustainable for several reasons. I mentioned debt saturation back in 2006, 2007, which is what caused the train wreck. Central banks and sovereign treasuries picked up the credit creation baton, if you will, because at that point you had individuals, corporations, et cetera, either not able to take on more debt or decided not to take on more debt. And if you go back to Richard Russell's Inflate or Die, mm-hmm. the system had to continue inflating because it's a Ponzi scheme. And so the central banks and the treasuries picked up the credit baton. Who's going to do it this time around? Because now you have, I mean, for instance, the U.S. is well over 100% debt to GDP. It's probably 110, 115% debt to the size of the economy. And if you go back just 20 years ago, any time a nation hit 100% debt to GDP, that was the trap door to Banana Republic.
Well, and in fact, Ambrose Evans Pritchard recently wrote, it was based on a report from the IMF. This was published in The Telegraph. Quote, "The International Monetary Fund has presented us with a gothic horror show. The world's financial system is more stretched, unstable, and dangerous than it was on the eve of the Lehman crisis. Quantitative easing, zero interest rates, and financial repression across the board have pushed investors, and in the case of pension funds or life insurers, actually forced them into taking on ever more risk. We have created a monster," end quote.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just think about in the instance of a pension fund. Pensions typically do their math assuming a 7 or 8% return on capital. And now, basically, interest rates are zero all over the world. You've even got $17 trillion worth of credit. It's at negative interest rates. Mm-hmm. So the historical 60-40 mix between equities and bonds, what's happened is you can't get a return in the bond market. So it's, it has pushed, it's pushed pension funds and individuals, savers, for example, that they can't get any interest on their capital. It's pushed them into riskier and riskier investments.
And we're constantly told that everything's fine financially around the country and around the world. And again, as you mentioned, Bill, we have the, I mean, it's unheard of, $17 trillion in negative interest rates around the world. So when you put, let's say, $1,000 into an investment, when it comes due, you're going to, with negative interest rates, you get less than the $1,000 that you put in years before.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's
that's not a sign.
Negative interest rates is capital destruction.
Yeah, and that's,
capitalism is based on capital creation.
And that's not the sign of a healthy world economy, let alone an economy in any country of the world.
No, it's a sign of desperation is what it is.
Well, and then we see, and people say, well, yeah, but we're okay here in the United States. I mean, you know, for example, just look, this past week, the labor statistics were published. It was expected that only 85,000 jobs would be created, but, well, it actually ended up 125,000 jobs created. Yeah, but, Bill, when you look at the
model,
yes.
You're out of it, and it was actually a negative number.
Yeah, the birth debt model added 274,000 jobs, that bogey number.
Right, and if everything's okay, then why are there problems in the overnight repo market?
Well,
why has the Federal Reserve in the last less than 60 days, or call it 60 days now, they've put in, I think the number's $286 billion. Their balance sheet has expanded, gone over $4 trillion again, and it's growing at the same pace that it did after the 2008 collapse.
And educate, we touched on this in the first half hour of the show, but we need to touch on this again because this is really important. This repo market, that people say, well, what do I care about the repo market, repurchase? I mean, Bill, this is the banksters adding cash, and tell me if I'm wrong, cash to the system to keep the system afloat, correct?
Well, yeah, it's basically so that banks, brokers, insurance companies can carry positions overnight. They don't have the capital to carry it, so they borrow it. They lend securities into the marketplace. The thing is, there's $1.4 trillion sitting with the Fed overnight every night. And the repo market has a higher rate, so it would make sense for banks to lend into the repo market. But the reason they're not lending into the repo market is they don't trust each other. So they're foregoing the additional income for the safety of the Fed. And what that tells me is that somebody is very, very sick, on their deathbed or already dead. It means Bank A won't trade with Bank B, and Bank B won't trade with Bank C, and mm-hmm. C with A, mm-hmm. because they believe one of them is going to fail.
And let's face it, Bill, and you've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. These banks are interdigitated with each other through their derivative contracts.
Yes.
So it's a series of dominoes. Once one goes, I mean, it's this domino theory that occurs worldwide, isn't it?
Right, and you brought up derivatives, so let's talk about Deutsche Bank. Deutsche mm-hmm. Bank, the biggest German bank, it's the biggest bank in Europe. They are the counterparty to over $50 trillion of derivatives. Mm-hmm. And derivatives are used as, if you want to lack a better term, they're used as an insurance policy. They're a way to hedge your risk and lay it off on the counterparty, in this case, it's Deutsche Bank. Now, Deutsche Bank's stock in 2006 or 2007 was over 100. Now it's what, $7 or $8 a share.
Right.
There were rumors this past week that not only were they on their deathbed, but they had actually, and it's you know, not been confirmed, but I believe it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, there were rumors flying around that they had actually filed bankruptcy that was not reported upon. But think about that. They are the backstop to a $50 trillion portion of the foundation that holds up the entire financial system. So if Deutsche Bank goes, what happens to those $50 trillion in derivatives?
Right.
And the derivatives are anything and everything. They're interest rate derivatives, gold and silver, you name it. They've written insurance similar to AIG back in 2006 and 2007, and leading up to that. Basically, what they've done is they've written insurance. And what the world has to look forward to is the insurance company going broke while your house is burning down.
And we still have folks, Bill, that say, okay, well, that's really bad if you have stock in Deutsche Bank. It's really bad if you bank at Deutsche Bank. It's really bad, I guess, if you're in Germany. But it's really bad across the board financially worldwide because Deutsche Bank is linked to every large bank in the world, correct?
Yes. When they default, they will default basically on the entire banking system. And the person thinking, well, that's really bad if, you know, you own stock in Deutsche Bank. No, it's really bad if you have your wealth in paper assets, any paper assets.
So, Bill,
all paper assets.
So, Bill, play this out. So, and we have new visitors, new listeners every week on this show that listen across the world in the internet. I think last week we had folks from not only every state in the union, but 60 countries around the world. So what do folks do to protect themselves? Because as you said, this smoke and mirrors paper sham is toppling over.
Well, this is a credit bubble that has created asset bubbles in everything. And once credit begins to crumble, you have to have your wealth out of the system, and the way to do that is to own physical gold, not contractual gold, physical, real, held in your hand, gold and silver. And I've spoken on your program many times and warned people that once credit does break and credit does seize up, you're also going to need a way to eat, because distribution is not going to happen. Distribution is going to shut down pretty quickly because everything runs on credit. I typically use the example of a wheat farmer to a loaf of bread at the store. There's probably 7 or 8 uses of credit between the farmer's field and somebody purchasing that loaf of bread. So gold and silver, that's good for your financial well-being, but you can't eat that. So you should put, stock some food away, have a way to purify water. If you can, even have an alternative energy source, whether it be solar or generator or whatever. Because everything runs on credit, and when credit stops, everything stops.
It brings me to the quote from, I know you're familiar with, from Norm Franz from Money and Wealth in the New Millennium. Quote, "Gold is the money of kings, silver is the money of gentlemen, barter is the money of peasants, but debt, D-E-B-T, is the money of slaves," end quote.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
So,
that has been the plan all along, is to get the world enslaved, if you will.
It is their plan. And many people say, oh, that's so over the top. That's hyperbole. It's not hyperbole, Bill.
No, just read up on the the Rothschild. I was going to say Rockefeller. Read up on the Rothschild family, and you'll understand that debt enslavement is a plan.
That's right. It's the way that they, the elite, can control, can manipulate, can get everything they need by enslaving people. And what better way to do it than to make them destitute, correct?
Well, and enslave nations.
Yeah, that's a good point. Entire nations. Which brings us back to who has a U.S. national debt of $23 trillion, right?
Well, yeah, it's all over the world.
Right.
Japan owns it. China owns it. Our banking system is supported by the global banking system is supported by it.
Look, play this out, Bill. You're really great at it. Play this out over the next 3-6 months. We got an election coming up in less than a year. Play this out. What do you start looking for, Bill, as your really big red flag that this is imminent?
I've always said, don't watch the stock markets, watch the credit markets. And I mean, we're already watching a problem in the repo market. Watch how much liquidity the Fed is forced to push into a system that's supposedly okay. The system is not self-supporting. If it was self-supporting, the Fed would not have needed to put in $286 billion in the last 2 months. So keep your eyes on the credit markets. If you all of a sudden started to see interest rates going up, it means credit is being sold.
No, right. So they couldn't keep a lid on, if you will, and so many people are dumping their treasury bonds, treasury bills that they can't protect it enough. This is why we would see interest rates going up.
Right, and interest rates have to stay down. The reason being is debt service itself. The debt service in the U.S. for years and years and years stayed under $400 billion per year, even though the amount of debt outstanding increased. And that was because the Fed was able to continually lower interest rates from the 1980s all the way to where we are now. However, it's gotten to the point where the absolute debt that the U.S. owes is growing. We've already gotten interest rates to zero or close to zero, so now the additional debt is beginning to bite, and the interest only is, what, $550 billion. So now you're starting to see a hockey stick move on that chart, and that's the end of the U.S. I mean, the U.S. financially, the only way to pay the debt is going to be to print.
And then the Dutch National Bank recently stepped up. Central bank issues stunning warning, quote, if the entire system collapses, gold will be needed to start over, end quote. It's not just this from Zero Hedge. It's not just tinfoil blogs who for 11 years have been warning that a monetary reset is inevitable and the only viable fallback option once trust and faith in fiat paper currency is lost is a gold standard. Central banks are joining the doom parade now. An article published by the Dutch National Bank, or Dutch Central Bank, has shocked many with its claim that, quote, if the entire system collapses, the gold stock provides a collateral to start over, end quote.
Yeah, what a shock coming from a central bank. And the only thing I would disagree with is, in that article, it was if, I would say when.
Bill, how can folks follow you? Because they need to follow you on a daily basis.
Our website is www.jsmineset.com.
Bill, I'd like to thank you and your partner, and your partner, Jim Sinclair, a legend in the financial world. I'd like to thank both of you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You have done everything but create a financial lifeboat for anyone and everyone willing to listen. And all folks have to do is step in. And I thank you for doing so, sir. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at WAM Talk 1600.